Is there something in your temple? Is there something in your temple? Good to see each one of you tonight. Beautiful day, wasn't it? And spring's ready to spring. And maybe it sprung. I don't know. I saw a lot of robins. So I think we're through the worst part. And Danny's got two of our buses going. And that third one, we're gonna have to anoint that with oil and pray over, because that thing is not starting. That's a thought. Okay, kidding you. I'm half kidding, I think. But we're gonna have to pray over it. There's nothing wrong with praying over it. That's a good bus, and we need all of our buses. John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Thank you for coming back tonight. Good crowd. Good to see each one of you. School tomorrow. All the kids have got their smile on their face. 8:30 sharp. And hopefully it won't rain. You can play on the blacktop and more basketball. And preacher got with them the other day. I tried to stuff it and couldn't. Got to bring that rim down just a little bit. Like one more inch and I'd be able to get it, Andy. And all the kids got a kick out of the Pillsbury Poppin' Doughboy bouncing around. They didn't know which one the basketball was. But anyways, we had a good time. I think I made one shot out of 10. And but we had a lot of fun with the kids. I love the kids, don't you? Thank God for our kids. And John chapter 2, verse 1. This book of John's a great book. It's a great book. I'm so glad to see Grandma Sue here tonight. We love her so much. And she's been real sick. She's battling to come back. You keep praying for Sue, Grandma Sue. She's trying to come back, and we miss her so much. And I was over there the other day talking to her. And she's a Sunday school teacher for over 30 years. Isn't that something? Over 30 years a Sunday school teacher. She's been such a blessing to Bethel Baptist Church. And someday where she's going to have to retire and come up with us old folks in the adult class. But anyways, we're glad. She's wanting to hold on. But I think we both know in the near future we're going to, because those steps are hard to climb, amen? And right now, though, we're not even worried about her teaching. We're just wanting to get her well right now. That's all I care about is her getting better right now. That's all that matters to me. All right, pray for Sue Vance. She's got a grandson named Sean. He's a good kid. His bigger brother's a good kid too. When you're the size of Josh, you always say they're a good kid. Alrighty. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Oh, there's so much truth here. Sounds a little loud to me, John. And when they wanted wine, and the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I didn't come here to do this, Mom. I came here to die. I came here to die for people. Are you with me? His mother said, and I like what his mother said in verse 5, and I'll be commenting on that. His mother said to the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Listen to my son, Jesus. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And there Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them with up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out. Boy, there's so many, you preachers, there's so many messages in this thing. It just bounces right off the pages to you. And bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, you know, Jesus got a bride. Amen. Jesus got a bride. He's coming back for that bride. Amen? Amen. And said unto them, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that then which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles Jesus and Cana of Galilee did and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Boy, when they saw that, that was just a start of what they were going to see. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking with Jesus for 3 years? Hearing him speak, being able to touch him. John says we saw, we handled the word of God there. He was talking about Jesus himself there back there in 1 John. And can you imagine his watching the blind to see their get their sight, the dead to come back alive, the sick to be well, walking on water, stopping the waves? I mean, can you imagine all the things he did? And you feeding the 5,000 with seven loaves of bread and two small fish? Are you with me? How many are with me? And five loaves of bread and two small fishes. I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing what our Savior did. Read, this is probably one of the, if I only had one book that I would tell someone to read that's a young Christian, I would tell them to read the 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. Now, if you want to be more detailed, the book of Luke, because Luke was a physician, Luke details everything. John's like a heavenly being and like a flying eagle. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can study your word tonight. Help me to be a blessing to all the folks. Thank you for what you're doing. Oh, God, every Sunday morning this place is being filled. Every Sunday morning people are being saved and baptized and people joining the church. Lord, please don't stop it. And Lord, there's some more things I know on the horizon. Please, Father, bless us and make things come to pass. And Lord, help me to be a blessing now. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, fill me and help me to preach well for Jesus that I can be a blessing to everyone here. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. By the way, that man that I baptized last week, Richard, he's as big today as he was last week. He's still big. He's a big guy, isn't he? All righty. I want you, first of all, when you read this great chapter, John chapter 2, it's a great, of course, it's, no doubt it's telling you about a wedding that Jesus literally attended. It's telling you about the first miracle that he did. And we know that's great. And that's, I'm really glad you can do miracles. Amen. But beyond even the outward appearance of this great chapter of what Christ did, there's some great spiritual applications. And I know you've heard this before, but it's good to keep hearing about God's word. God's word never gets old. At least not to me, it doesn't. And I want us just to go through these verses tonight and look like an expository teaching or preaching and just rejoice in what some of the things. You know, I actually saw a few more things here that I've never seen in my past when I studied before. So isn't it amazing, Bobby? Eddie, you can read something in the scriptures, Lizzie, and all of a sudden you say, wow, I've read that 20 times, 100 times, and never saw that, you know? So tonight I want to hope I can show you something that maybe you've never seen, and there's nothing new underneath the sun, amen? But I want to exhort you with the word of God. So let's look. I do a lot of marking and highlighting and all kinds of stuff, and because it helps me to stand out when I'm preaching or teaching. Also, if I'm showing people, say, look at this, they see what's highlighted, they say, wow. And when you get older, yellow stands out real good, helps you to see better. Even my notes, I put them on yellow paper, then I write them in blue ink, and then I do the yellow over the blue. Amen. And so I like that color yellow, and it stands out, and you can see it really, really easy. All right. Notice verse 1. And the third day, I circled that word third day. I wonder why they put that third day in there. I mean, why did, you know, God never makes no mistakes. Everything's in the Bible for a reason. And in the third day, there was a marriage. And what I wanted to share with you, what day did Jesus raise from the grave? He rose on the third day, didn't he? Aren't you glad he arose on the third day? And he kept saying, after 3 days, I'm going to raise. And it's amazing. We're married to him, and he rose on the third day. And that third day is pretty. Now, it means the third day there, but I think there's some more application to it beyond but what we see. Amen? And then he said, there's a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and Notice verse 2. Jesus, notice who goes to this wedding. Notice who goes to this marriage. Jesus was called. By the way, you got to be called to it. You got to be called. You get saved, you're called by God. And no one just happens to get to heaven. You don't happen to just make it to heaven. God calls and speaks to you, and you trust him as Savior. The Bible says in John, no man cometh to me unless the Father draws him. Amen? And I think that's 6:44. And both Jesus was called, and guess what? Who else? His disciples. If your faith is in Christ, you're a disciple. Amen? Grandma, we're his disciples. And all that have faith in the Son of God. It's amazing that who was going to the marriage? Who was called to the marriage? Jesus and his disciples. You know, Ephesians 2:6 says we are risen with him and set in heavenly places. I shared this about a couple weeks ago about when it's good to be alive. God already reckons us risen with him. And all those who are risen with him are married to him. Romans, you can write Romans 7:4. Just you can make a notation. Romans 7:4. Even to him, we are married to another. We are married to another, Romans 7:4. Even to him that's raised from the dead. We're spiritually married to Christ. If the moment you get saved, you're married to Christ. Amen? How many are with me? And so, notice, and all that are married to him is going to go to the marriage supper. Hold your hand there in John. Don't lose John. But look at Revelation 19. Brother Carl, the Christians have gone to a marriage. Isn't it amazing how it parallels? This marriage, Brother Mark, is paralleling a future event. Revelation, the last book in your Bible, chapter 19. And look at verse 7. How many got Revelation 19? Look what it says there in Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice. How many think God wants us Christians to be happy? Amen. He does want us. He said, let us be glad and rejoice. In other words, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. Brother Kerry, there's nothing wrong with us getting excited about Jesus. I unless the Lord tells you to do it, I wouldn't do it. But I don't think there's nothing wrong with getting excited and waving a hanky once in a while. I don't know who I was talking to. I think it was Roddy Black. He's got, we're talking about preaching churches. And years ago, as a kid preacher, just a young kid preacher, in my 20s, surrendered when I was 21 to preach. I was in this church over there in Toledo. It was a black church, a black Baptist, you know, good people, you know. They get excited. I wish the white people could get a little what the black people have in their churches, because they really get excited for the Lord. A lot of times you got to get people to get excited. We ought to be excited. And it just dawned on me as I was talking the story, Bobby. I told them I remember getting up to just, I said, now, folks, I start out slow. I'm like, kind of like a train. I start out slow, but boy, once I get going down track, I take right off like a train. And I was preaching for like 15 or 20 minutes, and boy, I was throttled, my face turned red. I was jumping down, and I come down off the platform, and I went, woo, 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 like I was a train. Never even thought about what I said earlier. I'm not lying. I'm not preaching. I'm telling you the truth right here. I started going down the aisle. Woo, woo. They all got up, Bobby, from the front, and they made a train behind me. And I was going, woo, 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 woo. And I went all around the building. That whole congregation got on a train and was going, woo, 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 woo. I should write a book. You young preachers, if you get in the black church, don't do a train. Man, I mean, they were shouting. And I was right on track. And Brother Davis, I'm not lying. The whole, I mean, the men and the women, the whole. So I just kept going, Billy, and I went all around the whole building, and they followed. Just like you pull a whole train. And that was an exciting day. Look what it says there. We ought to get excited, though, amen? I don't know if we have to run around the building or not, but I think they thought I was trying to prepare them when I was a train. And that made me know they were really listening. Let us be glad. So many Christians are sad. Christian, you ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you ought to be. Listen, this isn't our world. We're just passing through. This is just a passing thing. We've got all of the future to look forward to. And rejoice. Man, instead of grumble and complain and bicker, why don't you rejoice? And give honor to him for the marriage of the Lamb. Who's that Lamb? That's Jesus. He's come, and his wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. What's those? Where do you get them robes? You get them from Jesus. He's our righteousness. Amen? And he said, Blessed are they which are called, Brother Mark, same thing in John chapter 2. Blessed are they which are called, Roddy, unto the marriage of the supper lamb. And he said, right, these things are true sayings of God. There's going to be a marriage after the rapture. And then I have the judgment seat of Christ. All that's going on up in heaven. Down earth is the worst time the world's ever going to see in the tribulation. And we're going to go to a marriage supper. That's exciting, amen? And if you're saved, you're going to be there. Well, turn back to John chapter 2. There's somebody's slip. Good color, by the way. Yellow. I can see it real good. And look at John chapter 2 and look at verse 5. Look what Mary says, the mother of Jesus. Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. I kind of like this. Mary said, don't look to me, look to Jesus. Jesus did not point people to Mary. Mary pointed people to Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We were talking about this in Sunday school. If you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing out. I'm doing a tremendous Bible, in-depth Bible study on the scriptures about baptism, Lord's Supper, and things like that. 10 lessons. We're still on lesson 2. And boy, my teachers that teach Sunday school, I'm going to make sure you get these. I've inserted this. This is a Bible lesson I inserted with lesson number 2. Make sure you get those from me. Because I added more to it because there wasn't enough there for me to be happy with. So it was good, but it didn't take it far enough for me. Amen? And so Mary said, look, don't look to me. See, too many people are praying to Mary today. I love Mary. Thank God for the mother of Jesus. Please don't misread me. Thank God, greatest lady ever was. But I'm going to tell you right now, she wasn't the Savior. And I mentioned in Sunday school, she had to be saved just like you and I. And I guarantee it breaks Mary's heart when people are praying to her. It breaks her heart. Man, why are you praying to me? Pray to my son. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that risen. He's the one that's the Savior. I'm not the Savior. Matter of fact, she said, I magnify my Lord and Savior. And over there in the first chapter of Luke, I think around 56, somewhere in there, she trusted Christ just like we did. And so, noticing. So don't lift up Mary, lift up Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 6. There were set 6 water pots. 6 is a number of man. God made man on the 6th day. God works in numbers. And so those 6 water pots represent man. All men. Okay? And what all men, did you know something else about those water pots? They were made out of stone, aren't they? Men, all men have stony hearts. Amen? Until they get warmed up by Jesus. Amen? 6 water pots, number of man. Water pots are made out of stone. Lost men have stony hearts that need to be changed. And the number seven, fill the water pots with water. Wow, that helped. Because Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. See, water doesn't do it, but the water of God's word does it. Amen? People need the water of God's word to clean them up. Watch, they need the water of God's word to change their hearts and lives. God uses, takes his word, he takes his word and makes things new. God, his word makes things change. I'm glad he made me anew. I was one of those water pots that God changed and made anew and made afresh. Amen? Years ago. Look at verse 8. Draw out. I love that. What an invitation. John 7:37, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There's an invitation for people to come and get saved through Christ. Draw out. See that? How many see that? What a great picture of salvation. I hope you can see this. Verse 9, when he tasted the water, how many see verse 9? God did a miracle. He changed the water into wine. He made a new creation. He changed the old into new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Can anyone say amen? Amen? Praise God for that new creation that he made in those water pots. Amen? Then verse 10, he said, thou hast kept the good until now. You know what I thought about that great teaching in Romans? Why did he keep the good? Because why did he keep the good till now? Because we had no goodness until Christ changed our life. There wasn't no goodness in us. There still isn't. There's only thing good about me and Freddie Belcher is that we got Christ in us. He's a no good, dirty dog. How many heard that statement? That's really a true statement. We are no good. There's none good, no, not one. If there's anything good at all about us, it's because of what Christ has done. This guy says, wow, this stuff tastes great now. It's changed. I was telling, I think it was Rod and Debbie, the other Mark, whoever was talking this last week. I didn't have a great testimony when I was a kid. I wasn't a juvenile delinquent, but I got into stuff sometimes, okay? I ran up and down the streets and pool halls and stuff like that. And when I got saved, Andy, I couldn't wait to get the sign up. It said Lighthouse Baptist Church and started my church. Pastor Richard E. Skiver. Man, I'd be sitting in that office, and I know I've told you this, but I'd get phone calls from people all over that were older, and they said, we see the sign out there, Pastor Richard E. Skiver, because I built a church 10 houses from where I grew up. I grew up right there, 10 houses from the Lighthouse Baptist Church. It was a library. It was Germain Library. We bought the library from the city, and we made it into a church building. But they'd call me all the time. Is this the Richard Skiver that was the son of Margaret and Harvey Skiver? And I'd say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. And I can't say in this church what they said afterwards, but there was a lot of disclaimers. I'm going to tell you that right now. And they couldn't believe what happened. I had men come from Allied Chemical where I worked because I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. And I went right out of high school into Allied Chemical. I was lost when I went to Allied Chemical, and I was a young kid, so I was pretty full of fire back then. Still a little bit of God fired me too, don't I? But I ran with the bad group of people. And when I got saved, those guys that were real rough and tough, I was not never a tough guy, but I ran with those kind of people. They couldn't get over it. And they'd come to church and say, we've got to hear this. I remember one of the roughest, toughest guys named Cleo Clark big old guy. I've seen him clean out bars, man. He's a tough guy. Big old, and older. He was an older man. And he and his wife came. He said, I got to see this driver. He got saved. Amen. His wife got saved. Amen. And they became faithful members of our church. I used to, all the people, I preached almost all the funerals for all the big businessmen at Galena Street. I preached every one of their funerals. I led their children and their grandchildren to Christ. And they couldn't believe what happened. Boy, this kid has changed. It's not the same person. People that went to high school with me, the word got out. Hey, Rich Skiver is preaching over on Galena Street in North Toledo. You'd have to see me in high school. You would understand what I'm saying right now. And they would actually come. Kids that went to school with me would come. They'd say, we have got to see this. They'd come as a joke. And they end up getting saved. See, but it was nothing about me at all. It was all what God did. You see, he said you had the good at the end. See, I had no good thing in the beginning, Bobby. The only thing good I had good now because is what Christ done. Amen? And then, real quickly, verse 11, the new birth is a miracle. The new birth manifests God's glory. And by the way, did you see something there? This began the miracles. First one he did. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth his glory. And look what happens. His disciples believed on him. Every time someone gets saved, it's a miracle. It was a miracle a couple weeks ago when those seniors got saved, but it was a miracle when the kids got saved. And by the way, when... You know what happens when people get saved and people start, it encourages other people. Because it manifests God's glory. Are you with me? And see, God likes to do miracles. When people see God changing people's lives, they say, I want what they've got. Do they see it in our life today? Amen? Amen. And then, real quickly, the scripture says after we're saved, and this is what I'm trying to get to preach to. I don't want to tell you that was all introduction. Scripture says after we get saved, he changes our bodies and we are the temple of the Lord. Look at this last scripture here. One of the last ones. 1 Corinthians 6. I want you to see this. And this is a thought I got. Once I got saved, I became the temple of God. He lives within me. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? I'm in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost came in you. He abides in you. He lives in you. The Bible says you're sealed until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not in 5:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. And Ephesians 5:30 says, we're members of his body, his bone, his flesh. And so don't think you can lose your salvation. Don't think you can run away from God. If you take a submarine 20,000 leagues underneath the sea, he's still going to be there. Amen. By the way, it wouldn't matter if you're lost. He still can go down. There's nobody can get out of his sight. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you are of God, and you are not your own? No. For you are bought with a price, Calvary. Amen? Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Hey, Christian, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You're his property. He paid for you. He suffered and shed his blood for you. He agonized. He took your sin. He arose after all for one day to redeem you. I'm not my own property. I'm God's property. So whatever he wants to use my body for, want me to go and do, then I'm his. And it should be the same for you too. The song, wherever he leads, I'll go. We should, because we're his property. I belong to Jesus. Amen? And by the way, that's why Satan has to keep his hands off you. Amen? Now go back to John real quickly. I'm just going to give you one thought. So what are, we're the temple of God and the Holy Ghost lives within. Are you with me? But look up here. Look, everybody look up here. Go back to John 2. When do we become the temple of God? After we get saved. You're right. Once we get saved. So you become the temple when you have salvation. How many are with me? Now in John chapter 2, the first 11 verses, I told you those six water pots represent it's the new birth. Water changed into wine, it's a new birth. How many see me? Now after we get saved, God lives, he abides in us, he lives within us by the Holy Ghost. We are his temple. He abides in our temple. My body's his temple. He lives inside me. Are you with me? Okay, now watch. After God saved me, Bobby, he had to start cleaning out a lot of things of this hillbilly. Because this hillbilly had a lot to still cleaning it out. I had so much to clean out, he needs all these years to work on me. Amen? How many are still with me? Now, I want you to look at John chapter 2 again. Pick up at verse 13. The Jews' Passover was, and I'm in John chapter 2 verse at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple. We just talked about a spiritual application about salvation, right? And what's he's going up now to this temple, which is a spiritual application for us. He's going to clean our temple out. And found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and changers of money. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple. How many see that? And what I want to show you is this. After salvation comes, then comes the scourging. Hebrews 12 says, if you'd be a son of his, he scourges every son that comes to him. Are you with me? Chasten. He chastens every son. If you don't chasten, he wouldn't love you. How many are with me? Now, just get this last thought. Jesus cleaned out, Jesus did a temple cleaning. Did you notice that? Jesus did a temple cleaning. Jesus cleaned out some things that were in the temple that shouldn't have been there. And after we get saved, he starts cleaning out our temple. After we get saved, Jesus starts cleaning us out those bad things in our life that shouldn't be there. At this time of the year, we have the ladies know it's spring cleaning. And by the way, we need to organize something, ladies. We need to do a big spring cleaning here at Bethel. I mean, a bunch of us. I mean, let's men and women both. Let's get someone take the initiative and put a day for spring cleaning, and let's get this property cleaned up. Men and women both. Amen? And at this time of year, though, we call it spring cleaning. Well, Jesus doesn't have spring cleaning. He has temple cleaning. Amen? And the thought and the whole thing tonight is this. Is there something in our temple, our life, that Jesus would like to clean out of our temple? As we grow in grace, he continually cleans out the temple of bad things and bad habits. For instance, before I got saved, Bobby, and I'm not proud of it, I had a very foul mouth. I used to swear a lot. I'm not proud of that. And after the Lord saved me, he started cleaning my mouth up. My mother tried to do a little bit for him before I got saved. One day she heard me cussing in the driveway, and she said, "Come here, you got a dirty tongue." She put that hard lava soap, and she put it in there and said, "I'm going to clean your mouth out." I got the picture. Don't ever cuss in front of my mama. Amen? Don't ever cuss at all. We use words that edify the hearer. Amen? And I had, for instance, bad attitudes. Do you need to rid a bad attitude? Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Teenagers, it's important. Your attitude really reflects your life. And by the way, you men and ladies, it reflects your life. But let me help these kids. If you got a bad attitude, "I hate school. I hate school. Oh, I can't. I hate school." That's a bad attitude. And trouble is, if you got that kind of attitude for school, you're going to make a misery on you. And by the way, I used to say I hated school because I was a hood. You know, I almost cried at my graduations. First of all, I almost cried because I graduated. Didn't think I would. Second of all, I'm going to tell you, this year, young Foreman girl, she's going to graduate. And I'm high school years are all behind you then, honey. All those days are gone. And when they played that alma mater, boy, I don't care, I was a street kid, but I'm going to tell you right now, it got to me. It got to me. Hey, this is it. You got to get out in the big world. Then I got thinking, man, I should have been listening to what those teachers were trying to teach me. Hello? Get an attitude. I'm happy to go to school. I'm going to learn all I can. You fellas at work, you don't like your job? Just get down and say, God, thank you for this job. It's giving me money to supply for my home. It's our attitudes. I'm telling you, as a man, so let me read that Proverbs 23 to you again. Proverbs 23, 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think school is rotten, no good, stinky, blah, 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 that's what school is going to be. If you think that's no rotten job that you got, blah, 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 that's what it's going to be. But if you can look in a positive, change your attitude, say, dear God, I might not like all this, but dear God, you're providing for me. Thank you, Lord. There's people who don't even have jobs. Lord, thank you. I've got health to go to work. Lord, thank you. I can, especially you BBC kids. You ought to thank God every day you got a Christian school to go to. Amen. It's a privilege to come to this school. Thank God for all our godly teachers that sacrifice for little just to be put something in your lives. What a privilege. And all you teachers, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Those that work and help in the school, thank you. But our bad attitudes. Well, I don't know about that church. Well, see, some of y'all say, I love my church. Y'all say, I love my preacher. Oh, I know your preacher's not perfect. I know him real good, so I know he's not perfect. But he's the one God gave you. And you got a preacher that really loves you. And that's a plus. But it's our attitude. About anything in life, it's our attitude. We ought to have so if we have a bad attitude, God says, let me clear that out. How can you rejoice and be glad for the day if you've got a bad attitude? You ought to get up in the morning and say, Lord, it's good to be alive. Say it, Lord, it's good to be alive. Lord, it is good to be alive. Thank you for this day you're giving. Help me to use it for you. And Lord, let people see you and me today. Because it's good to be alive. See the right attitudes. Christians got bad attitudes. Some people, man, they got such bad attitudes. It's unbelievable. You ever know something? I can't stand to be around people with bad attitudes. They drag you down. Say, man, go sit in the corner. I'll see you later, okay? Whoop, 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 I'm out of here. Quickly. Man, it's after 7. Do you need to sweep out some bad habits like smoking, chewing, drinking? Those are bad habits. Get them out of your life. Do you need to clean out some bad music? Clean it out. Do you need to get rid of some ungodly clothes? Oh, here's the summer's coming up. This is always a tough one for me. I'll never say nothing to you if I meet you out in public. I never do. I won't. But it just breaks my heart when I see Christians out there not clothed right, bringing a reproach to Christ's name. I don't care when it's summertime or wintertime. I think we ought to be dressed appropriate. I don't care if it's summer or winter. Brother Rod, I don't think we should ever show our nakedness. I believe we should always be clothed and we should never be, preacher, all the other kids are dressed that way. I don't care about the other kids. I just care about Christians and for Christ's sake. That you might need an attitude change on those clothes, amen? We need to be more faithful to spend time in the Bible. I think it goes for all of us. And prayer. We need to get God give me an attitude to want to study your Bible more and take more time instead of watching TV. You know, do this because I've done it. It'll scare you. You want me to scare you? Take this challenge. Take, because it'll scare you to death. I want you, starting tonight, I want you to write down every time you sit in front of a TV. And I want you to log the hours for 1 week. There's 24 hours in a day. See how many hours per day you watch the TV. We say, God, we ain't got enough time to read the Bible. You'd be surprised how much time we got to read the Bible. Amen. Log it. Check me out. And you say, well, preacher, you don't want... Yeah, I watch baseball, sports. And now you got... I really got to watch it. Because now I got the Cavs going and the Indians at the same time. I'm glad the Browns aren't playing yet. The baseball games are 2 hours. And then with the commercial, 3 hours. Are you with me? Well, they start racking up. Because after I watch, sometimes those idiots go all the way to midnight or 11:30 and they say, oh man, I'm tired now. I'll read in the morning. Then you get a phone call. Hey, I got to have you right now. Okay, I'll read this afternoon. How many are still with me? Oh, I overslept. I'm telling you, we need to have an attitude to have more Bible, more of Him. And then I got to, do you need to remove a critical eye and a scornful tongue? There's a lot of Christians, the worst thing you can do is have a critical eye. You know why there's a sweet spirit here in this church? Because there's not that many critical eyes. If a person comes to church just to find out something that they, well, that's wrong and that's wrong. By the way, can I tell you something? If you come looking for something wrong in this church, you're going to find it. There's no perfect church till you get to heaven. Don't come saying, what can I find wrong? Don't come with a patch saying, I'm going to mark every time preacher makes a mistake or every time he spits or something like that. I'm not going to, your page will be overflowing. No, say, man, I'm going to come for a reason to be blessed and to get a blessing. We need to, I tell you, critical spirit quenches the spirit of God. You want to stop people getting saved and getting baptized? You get an evil spirit here, a couple of Christians in here with their spirit quenched. It says, quench not the spirit. Because what it does is it hardens everything up and it makes it cold and the spirit of God can't move and people won't get saved. Because of backslidden Christians or a backslidden preacher or a backslidden deacon or a backslidden Sunday school teacher or a backslidden bus driver. You just put all your names in it. Hello? Do you need to remove that critical eye, that scornful tongue? Then lastly, do you need to spend more time with God and His family, in your family, less time watching? I put this down for the kids. I'm glad my son, my grandson, Austin, he's not feeling good today, but he doesn't have the diarrhea. That thing rolled out pretty good today. He has, I don't know what they call it. If you ever catch him in school, you call me. I'm going to rip it out. He's not going to have it for a month. They have these little, are they called Game Boys or... Something they hit, and they're, man, and what is it? Yeah. It's a little game that they have in their hand. And I don't know what they call them, but man, if Austin's not playing ball, and I'm glad he is, he's playing that stupid, whatever that game is that you kids have, and you all have one. No wonder we got little midget mind people here. All they can do is. I'd rather have you go out like preacher did. I'm glad I didn't have one of those when I was a kid. I went down to the park and played football and baseball and I swam and I played checkers and I played hockey and I went in the alley and we actually kicked cans. We did. We kicked cans. You ever kick the can? I used to kick the can when I was a kid. Now I'm getting closer to kicking the bucket, but before I kicked the can. And I'm not ready to kick the bucket yet, so hold on. What I'm saying is this, you need to occupy your mind. And then all these computers and The kids are so wrapped up. No wonder we don't have kids. We got kids that go, and all that stuff's filled with junk and violence. Parents, help me with this. I've talked to David and Shannon. I said, hey, I don't want those kids on those all the time. I don't care if you play a little bit once in a while, but not all the time. I'm not against kids having fun. But I think when you spend hours after hours on them things, I'll tell you when you use them, when you take a trip and they got to drive for 20 hours, let them play it then. They'll keep them shutting up and you want to go to the bathroom, you have to buy them Coca-Colas. Amen? We need to spend more time with the Lord and less time with the world. And that's why we're not raising missionaries and preachers, and that's why homes are being destroyed and our kids are destroyed and our kids are... Did you want one of the major biggest things in suicide is teenagers? Because they see all that stuff and it puts a bad spirit in their mind and they say, man, there's no hope for me. If they're reading the Bible, they'd have all kinds of hope. Amen. Tonight, I'm closing with this. Tonight, what would Jesus clean out of our temple? What would Jesus... Search your temple today, your heart. If Jesus was here today, what would he want you to clean out of your temple tonight? All I'm asking is you consider it. It's spring cleaning and it's temple cleaning tonight. We're on the threshold of some great things. We don't want to be an Achan. And we don't want anybody to be hurt and hindered. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart that you'll bless our young and our old. Lord, I thank you for my kids. I'm so proud of them. So faithful to this church. Thank you for our college kids, Lord. We've got the greatest college kids I've ever seen in my life. And Father, just bless them. Encourage them, help them in their studies, and help them in their walk with God. And Father, I just pray you'll bless our adults tonight. Lord, if there's something in our temple that needs to be taken out, help us, Holy Spirit, to search our heart and take whatever it is out. And whether it be a bad habit or bad language or looking at pornography or whatever it might be, Lord. Swearing, I don't know, Lord, whatever. Watching computers too much. Lord, whatever it might be, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to our hearts and help us to be more dedicated to you. I wonder, with our head bowed and our eye closed before we go tonight, how many would say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, as you preach, God spoke to my heart. And there is one or two things that I believe the Lord's been speaking to me about, and I need to get it out of this temple. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to be the person you want us to be. Thank you for saving us. Now, Lord, conform us into your image. Help us to get rid of all those things that would beset us and have a bad testimony for you. Lord, just bless all our people tonight. Give them victory in their life for you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, Mark? 333.